Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry with Miss Tara, Janelle, and myself, Sandy. And we are discussing John 21, the whole verses, all the verses. And right now we're going to talk about Peter and what we can learn as a leader, and also how that commitment to being a leader, and how we can do that also, and how it comes about. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, you know, in this one, we'll just focus in this time on the actual moment on the seashore of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus has invited the disciples to come and have breakfast with him. Mm. And once they have finished eating breakfast, he then has this conversation with Peter. And he says, when they had finished eating breakfast, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then he says, feed my lambs. Second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he says, you know I love you. And the Lord says to him, then shepherd my sheep. He asks him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter's grieved that he's asked this third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. And at this point, Jesus lets him know that how he's going to die, and tells him, I assure you that when you were young, you would tie your belt and walk and go wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you're going to stretch out your hands and someone else is going to tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. He said this to signify the kind of death that Peter would have, but he would glorify God. But then he says, follow me. Well, Peter then turns and looks at the disciple that was the beloved, and he says, what about him? And he's like, what's that to you, Peter? If I want him to remain until I come, that is between me and him. You follow me. And so this report spread so that all the disciples believed that he would not die. But Jesus did not say that. He just said that he would remain until he had come, and asked, what's that to you? May God honor the telling of his word. Okay, so here we have this conversation with Jesus about Peter's reinstatement, and he's asking him, do you love me? And the key to this is, I found this quote from commentator McLaren, and it just was so profound the way he said it. He said, Jesus doesn't ask, are you sorry? Hmm. And Jesus doesn't ask, will you promise to never do that again? He doesn't ask, will you obey me? He doesn't ask for repentance. He doesn't ask for vows or for conduct. What Jesus does is he asks him to reveal his heart. Mm. Because if the heart is right, the rest will follow. Mm. The key here is love. Having the love. That if we have the love in the right place, then all the other things that we see as a leader, it will come about. So thinking through how can we be a leader if we have no commitment, and the importance of love, it's profound. You know, thinking through, you know, that I can go and, as scripture says, you know, do a lot of things, but if it's not in love, it's a clinging symbol. Mm-hmm. And that is, he's trying to get them to understand the key is love. And I went through and I saw so many aspects to what Peter's life represented in this particular passage. And so I wrote like this summation, how can you lead if you have no commitment? And just thinking through Peter as a leader and what kind of commitments were happening in him that were small and incremental as I observed him through John 21. And so I wrote, one, first he regroups. He goes back to the norm, to the routine. He refocuses. I'm a fisherman, I'm going to go back to what I need to focus in on. But yet, while he's there, something happens, and it's revealed to him through the beloved, this is the Lord, as the catch of fish come in, and he listens. And when he sees Jesus point out, he literally runs, and in this case, swims. Mm-hmm. He gets on the seashore, and he joins Jesus where Jesus is at. So where Jesus has joined him where he's at, this time he joins Jesus where Jesus is at. And he listens as Jesus challenges him, and he answers him to the best of his ability. When he's questioned, he answers. And then he grieves when he recognizes what Jesus is wanting him to get. And then he receives. And this is critical. I can't tell you how often I have people in my office and they're willing to listen and grieve but not receive the forgiveness. He then learns from what he has been taught. And he learns that in this process, Jesus makes it clear to him, you're going to die. He tells him how his death will be. And then it's so funny. Only with the Lord would he say, you know, you're going to die like a crucifixion. Come on, follow me. I just really thought that was funny. You know, not funny, haha, but funny, weird.
Ironic.
That's what I needed. And so he learns of how his death would be, but yet he still follows. And so he's willing to allow his focus to get back where it needs to be, and he's willing to be that follower, and become the fisher of men that he's called to be in Mark 4:19 and Matthew 4:19 and Mark 1:17, and so these are like for me like the model that Jesus provides. So as I examine my life in different circumstances and I go through my day. And I'm thinking, okay, I have this expectation that I want to meet Jesus. Sometimes I have to go back and maybe I'm in the process where I just need to regroup. Mm. I have to take that pause. Yeah. But sometimes I'm in the place where I just need to sit and listen. Sometimes I'm in the position where I need to respond. And so looking at Peter's example here and how he responds to Jesus, it provides for me a model of what I'm supposed to do and how I can react. And so I thought it was like, you know, right here, what commitment might look like. It's refocusing, it's listening, seeing, responding, answering when we have to, grieving, learning, getting our focus right, and following. I mean, that is what commitment looks like. Mm-hmm. And so it's simple.
Mm-hmm. Our fellowship group for the last couple of years, our word kind of has been intentional. You know, we even thought we should get sweatshirts or something that says, because you know what, if you're not intentional about doing something or committed, either way, it's not going
to
happen.
No, it won't. It will not happen. You have to be the one to do it.
That's right.
And I also love that Peter did something and he proclaims a truth about Jesus that is a character trait we need to pay attention to. He actually references the fact that Jesus is omniscient.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And so he says, Lord, you know
all things.
All mm-hmm. things. Okay. So if the Lord knows all things, he finds comfort. He's like, okay, I can't answer this, but you can. Mm-hmm. You can. I can't, but you can, Lord. And so I'm surrendering that you are the one that knows all things. And so I wrote down, I was like, wow. Okay, Peter acknowledges Jesus' knowledge. Okay, he knows his discipleship must be through and in and out of love. He needed to know what the Lord chose to do with him through other people. With other people is going to be none of his business. So it just cracks me up. It's like another one of those moments because we really focus in on the one where, you know, he's stumbles. He's like, get behind me, Satan. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, this is another one of those moments. Right here, he gets it. Yeah. Lord, you know all things. And then he's like, well, but what about him?
Yeah.
it was that fast. Peter is so fast to go from that.
Yep.
I got it to, I'm not there yet.
I can relate to that one.
It kind of reminds me of David, search me and know my heart.
Yes.
You know, when Peter says, you know all things, that's like issuing a challenge. Like, look at my heart. Mm-hmm. Look at what my focus is on and tell me, because you know that I love you. Mm-hmm. It's not a question. Like, and he, I think he's grieved because he's like, if Jesus is unsure that I love him, mm-hmm. do I? You know, like he knows. He knows me better than I know myself. And I want to say that I'm all in. I'm completely committed. Everything that I am is for you. But I need you to affirm that in me because I know that you know me.
Mm-hmm. And when we're at that place, that's where we are usable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's getting the humility mm-hmm. and the service that we talked about last time. And so let's look at, I want us to read, let me find the verse. I had two verses I wanted us to read that were really important. Acts 20:28. And Janelle, would you mind looking up? All right, Sandy, you do Acts 20:28, and Janelle, you do 1 Peter 4:1. And these two scriptures, one's written by Paul, and the other one is written by Peter. Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Acts 20:28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood.
Okay, and then 1 Peter 4:1.
Okay. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin.
That's so good. Okay. All right, first off, in Acts 20:28, how does it begin for us in shepherding our flock?
Well, I think we have to recognize who our flock is. You know, because sometimes, you know, you pray for God to bring somebody in your life that you can help know him.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not listening to who he's bringing into our lives, then it doesn't help. I don't know.
No, you're right. Okay, yeah. For example, I was sitting in a women's Bible study, and I think I had like 9 or 10 young moms. So you're talking moms of like three, four, kind of in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually talking about this particular passage. I just remembered as you were talking, and she goes, I don't have a flock.
Well,
and this mom had 4 little ones at home. and she goes, that's for pastors. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh,
and I'm like, how many children do you have? She's like, 4. And I think she was pregnant with her 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And one on the way. And I'm like, is that not a flock? And she had never caught on at that point in her life that she was a shepherd of her own flock, that she only thought a shepherd was a pastor.
I think a lot of people think that way sometimes.
Right. We all have people that are our flock.
Yes, we do.
Even if we are not a parent and we don't have a Bible study group, we have a flock of people that are following us. And it says here, it says, be on your guard for yourself.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It says yourself first. Isn't
that's
that interesting?
That is interesting.
Paul says, be on guard for yourself and for the flock that the Holy Spirit has appointed for you. We have to recognize that the beginning starts with us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have it right with ourselves, taking care of ourselves, so that because a shepherd that is not taking care of his heart, not taking care of his mind, not taking care of his body, he is not going to be able to take care of his flock the way he should. And so I thought that's interesting. So we need to catch that part. And then in the 1 Peter 4:1, since Christ suffered in the flesh, here it is again, equip yourselves with the same resolve. Okay, in both cases, for our ability to make a change for the kingdom of God, it must first come from ourselves being right and taking care of ourselves and having the same resolve that Christ had in slaying the flesh. That's the beginning of commitment. That's where leadership comes.
Yeah.
That is where leadership is birthed and bred and grown. And being willing to do that. And I have circumstances where somebody will say, I love my people. I love the people I'm taking care of. But they're not taking care of themselves. I'm like, you're not loving them. There's a motive there that is not self, it's self-serving. It's not necessarily for them. It's not a true dying to self until we are willing to get our stuff right. And that's where it comes out. And it's amazing because we're not aware then that it's even occurring.
Right.
And so I was blown away by that. Well, the Holman Bible said the difficulty we're going to struggle with in our culture today is that culturally, our focus is on our rights instead of our responsibilities.
So true.
Mm-hmm. And that if our commitment is as it should be, it's not about my right, but about my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that is so profound. And if you think, okay, let's go to like the Princess Diaries series, or let's go to the Hunger Games series, or any of these series where it's talking about somebody rising up to a position, they're always being shown how they have to die. You know, with great privilege comes great what?
Responsibility,
mm-hmm. quoting Spider-Man. okay, it's going to be culturally relevant. Yeah. You're good. Power? Okay, okay, let me get it right, you know. But do you understand in that it has to do with us getting ourselves right so that we can give what we then have? And that's what Christ is working in Peter and helping him get. So the Holman commentary, when it says that Jesus is Lord, they state, Jesus is Lord of our lives. He's Lord of our service. He is Lord of our future. He allows no selfishness to stand in the way of those who would follow him in full obedience. Mm. And that is what he's trying to get them to understand. He's trying to get Peter solidified on what that commitment looks like. And so based on that, I thought, okay, so Jesus is asking for surrender, mm-hmm. obedience, submission, followership, and then perseverance. And I think about, as we've gone through this walking in discipleship series, those are the key words we have done from the very beginning, from the first time we looked at Jesus calling the disciples to come follow me.
It is really interesting, the parallels between the first time he calls them from the fishing boat, and he says, I'll make you fishers of men. mm-hmm. But now he calls them and he says, I want you to be a shepherd. It's like the focus is shifting from go and tell people the initial good news to make a church, like make the body of Christ, make a discipleship organism that, and Peter becomes the head of that church. You know, he's not even the most profound or prominent evangelist in the New Testament. He's right. the head of the church, and he's the one that cultivates that discipleship environment. It's pretty cool.
Oh, Janelle, I'm going to just like, I'm tickling my nose as you do that. Okay, so I think you did a very good summing up, and I want to say it was Guzik or Holman, that's exactly it. It's nice. Not evangelism. It is discipling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is go. He doesn't say go evangelize. He says go mm-hmm. make disciples.
Disciples.
And because the discipling has with it, you guys, the friendship, the followership, and the fellowship. Mm. And fellowship means that we are speaking on the gospel message. Mm-hmm. That's what the focus is. It's been fun. Hasn't this one been good? We didn't even come in. I was telling them at the break. It's like we could have gone into what the beloved disciple moments mm-hmm. are. I had several other things that we could have covered. It's just a great summation for the end of the book of John. And I can't believe we finished this series up at this point. It's like, wow. How did that happen? it surprised me because I think we've been on it at almost 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.